I heard it and I was just thinking, okay, I haven't heard that in a little bit, but I want to sing that tonight. It's just an old song. It just says, we are standing on hold. Presence tonight. Will you lift a hand? Will you sing? We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. His presence here today. We love you, Jesus. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor, all of the praise. It makes me want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise. Sometimes we just have to think back to where he brought us from. And it makes us want to praise him all over again. It makes us want to lift our hands one more time and lift our voice and just give him praise because he's brought us from a long way. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Amen, amen, amen. And we're standing here today in the presence of God because he's redeemed us. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Once again, what a high honor it is to be at this church. Amen. And if you will go with me in your Bibles tonight, I'll be going to two verses of Scripture, Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15. Also to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Joshua 24 and 15, 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. You have a tremendous music ministry at this church. I've been so blessed by the singing and the worship. Thank you for leading us into the presence of the Lord. Amen. Joshua chapter number 24 and verse number 15. I don't know if I'll be preaching, teaching, preaching. I don't know what I'll be doing tonight. But let's just see where the Holy Ghost takes us. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, everybody say my house. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, beginning reading at verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. It reads, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Let's read that together, shall we? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Let's preach for the next few moments tonight on the subject simply, I'm building my dream house. I'm building my dream house. Turn to the person next to you and tell them it's good to see you tonight. Smile at them. Tell them you may be seated in Jesus' name. Thank you for standing. I'm building my dream house. I grew up as a pastor's kid. My father and my mother started a church in a little town up in the mountains. And we grew up having to go to a lot of different places, do a lot of different things. We moved a lot because when starting a church, there wasn't many people there. There wasn't a great crowd every service, and so money was a little tight, and my dad would work 3 to 4 jobs just to make the church payment, just to make the house payment, and things got tough. I could tell you story after story. Me and the Downs were talking about it today, about the faithfulness of God, and I could tell you story after story of how many miraculous times the Lord came through for our family. I remember times when my father would be driving along the side of the road just to look for firewood to heat the house. We would cash in aluminum cans so we could afford dinner because there wasn't oftentimes a lot of money. And but every single time the Lord came through. And while we did move a lot because rent would change and we'd have to find a cheaper house, the day finally did come when my parents were able to buy their first house ever. And I still remember that, and it was a great day in our family when my parents got to buy their first house. But, you know, and over time, he would sell that house and then buy another house, and then, you know, use the money he made from that house to buy the next one. And so forth and so on. And I always hated to hear when we were moving, because that meant we had to finish all of the things that we said we were going to do in the house, but we never did. Some of you know what I'm talking about tonight. You know, you've got that cupboard door that's hanging by one little screw, and you're saying, I'm going to fix that one day. And or you got that baseboard on the floor that you've never put on, or that floor that you said, I'm going to fix one day, and it's not fixed. You know what I'm talking about tonight. And I always hated hearing that we were moving, because that meant everything we hadn't done that we were said we were going to do, we finally just had to do it. And the day came when we were trying to fix everything up to get the house sold and all of those things. And it brought back to my mind, you know, if you're a homeowner and you rent to somebody, that's just a lot of work, because you're always fixing something. If you're a homeowner, you're always fixing something. Even if you're a renter, you're always fixing something. And so I was thinking about this earlier on, and if you've ever lived in a house, you know that it's always a work in progress. But like that, you and I are a work in progress. We are building this house. The Bible says the Holy Ghost lives inside of us. The Spirit of God is dwelling on the inside of us. And this, the Bible says, is the temple of God. The Holy Ghost lives here. What an awesome, awesome revelation that the Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of you. If you've received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, the Holy Ghost is living on the inside of you. That's a powerful thought. The Spirit of God is living on the inside of you. But what kind of a house are you building for the Holy Ghost to dwell in? We are all a work in progress. We've all got issues. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you've got issues. And while we all have issues, we're all constantly working to become better. Or at least we should be. We should not be satisfied with who we are right now. But we should be reaching. We should be striving, as Paul says. We should be stretching to become a better Christian, a better man, a better woman, a better father, a better husband. And our goal in trying to become better is to become more like Him in everything that we do. And it doesn't happen overnight. This stuff takes time, because life has a way of shaping and molding us. And things happen that we never thought would happen. Things take place that we never thought would take place. I never thought I would go through this kind of a trial. I never thought I would go through this as a young person, or as a mom, or as a dad. Life has a way of shaping us and molding us. And while it doesn't just happen, the fact is this: as our homes, our temples are never going to be completed. While we're building, while we're making ourselves better, while life is shaping us and molding us, while we're becoming better fathers, Christians, mothers, daughters, Christians, while all of this is happening, the fact is this: none of our houses are going to be completed until He comes back. Because the Bible says, down here, we go from glory to glory to glory, from mountain to mountain, from valley to valley, and we're always being in a place where our mind and our spirits are being molded to become more like him. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says this. Paul said, you got to be confident of this very thing. He which began a good work in you, Philippians 1 and 6, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He began a good work in me, but I'm just a work in progress. Because I'm not going to be perfect until I get up there. So grant me a little grace. Grant your brother and sister a little bit of mercy. Because while he began a good work in you, he's not finished yet. Turn to your neighbor and tell him he's not finished yet. He's still working on me. And I've got a lot of issues. But isn't that good news? He's still working on us. And we're all a work in progress. We're building to make this temple better every day. We're expanding, maybe physically and spiritually. We're becoming better. And the reality is this also. The Lord is building the house. The Lord is building us. Because except the Lord build it, they that do it labor in vain. And he said, he's talking about here, not an actually physically building a house. That's our job. Our job is to build the house. But it's talking about building the house with his plans. And his designs. And his blueprints. And his purpose. He said, you go get wisdom. You go get understanding. That's not my job. That's your job. You go get it. That means you go make yourself better. Go read. Go and get an education. Go make yourself better. Because this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you've got to ask yourself tonight, what kind of a house am I building? If this is the temple where God is going to dwell, what kind of a house am I building? And if you want to make yourself better, how many want to be better? How many want to make yourself a better person, a better Christian, a better friend, just a better person? We all should want to do that. There should not be one person that desires to be in the same spot today that you are next year. You should be saying, okay, what kind of a person am I going to be next year? How am I advancing myself? How am I becoming a better prayer warrior? How am I becoming a better Christian? I don't want to be in the same place that I was last year that I am now. I want to be somebody better. I want to take another step. I want to do everything that I can because I'm not building my house. I'm building his house. We should all be striving to become better. And if you want to make yourself better, you got to know how you want to build. And the first thing you got to know is this: location, location, location. I'm going to go to Acts the 18th chapter and beginning in the 7th verse. This is the first time I read this verse just a while back. I've never read this before, Bishop, and it jumped out at me because it begins to talk about this man, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, listen, whose house was joined hard to the synagogue. I never read that verse before, but I was like, oh my goodness, that is a powerful verse because I don't know anything about this man. This place right here is the only time. This is all we know about justice. All I can tell you about justice, I can't tell you how tall he was. I can't tell you how short he was. I can't tell you where he came from. I can't tell you anything else about him. All I can tell you about justice was that he loved to worship God. And that can tell you a lot about a person. You want to know a lot about a person? Just watch how they worship. But the second thing that I can tell you about justice, his house was joined hard to the synagogue. His house was right next to the house of God. He was right up against everything that was going on in the kingdom. And in building this house unto the Lord, I've got to make sure I'm in a place where this house is joined up next to the house of God. We've got to stay connected. We've got to stay connected with the house of God. Because in this house, there's accountability. I don't just do midweek services because they're a cool thing to do. I like to come to midweek services because I like to stay connected to the house. I don't just come on Sundays because it's what I'm required to do. No. I come to church on Sundays because whatever I've got to do, I've got to remain connected. I've got to stay involved. I've got to make sure my house is joined up next to the house of God. And growing up, Dad made it clear there are some things we're not going to do in this house. But he also made sure every service we were in the house of God. Didn't matter if they were washing windows. We were going to go sit in the chair and watch them wash windows. Doesn't matter what it was. We were in the house of God all the time. And as I made up in my mind at a young age, as much as I can, I've got to, like justice, stay connected to the house of God. Because I can't afford to become disconnected. And during this season that we've been in for the last couple of years, so many have stopped building and they've become disconnected. In a recent study, they found out that the majority of Christian families that make shipwreck or wind up separated and a mess had one common denominator. They didn't make the house of God a priority. And they found out that if parents don't make it a priority, kids don't make it a priority. And if they don't make it a priority, they don't make it. And it's just a chain reaction. So we've got to stay connected to the house. Whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. And like justice, join up hard with the house of God. I'm not talking about just the house of God. I'm talking about the kingdom as a whole. The big picture. Make sure you're staying connected to the big picture of what God wants to do. Because in this house, there's safety. In this house, there's accountability. In this house, there's freedom. In this house, there's liberty. We got to stay connected. We got to make sure our kids are connected. We got to make sure our families are connected. We cannot afford to become disconnected in the day in which we're living. Like justice, make sure your location that you're building your house is in contact with the house of God. In building this house, I've got to make sure I'm staying connected to that house. And wherever the location is, I've got to make sure the location is being built where the house of God is. Not just location. After I've found location, the second thing I've got to do is I've got to get a foundation. Turn to your neighbor. I got to get a foundation. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for he was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall not be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Not only is location important, but where you're building the foundation of your house is also important. Where I'm from, near San Francisco, the new tallest building in downtown cannot be occupied now. right in the middle of San Francisco, because it is slowly, day by day, leaning more and more to one side. And they are saying they cannot fix it, and it's now going to have to become dismantled, all because the foundation wasn't poured within 3 feet of the correct spot. And in building this dream home where God is going to dwell, you got to make sure that your foundation is sure. What are you building your day on? I found out that I am so much more productive when I start my day on two things: prayer and the Word. Well, three things: prayer, the Word, and coffee. I can't tell you what it is, but I get so much more done in a day when I give God the first fruits and when I give Him what belongs to Him. I found out I'm so much more effective when I get my mind into the Word and I get my face on the floor and I build the foundation of my day correctly. And before I can get anything productive done in the day, I've got to start on the right foundation. I've got to. You got to get grounded in His Word. You got to get grounded in prayer. And you got to make up in your mind, this house is going to be built on prayer. This house is going to be built on fasting. This house is going to be built on preaching. This house is going to be built on teaching. You got to get grounded in patience. You got to get grounded in the fruits of the Spirit and let it become part of your daily life. It's got to happen because you've got to build on the right foundation. Somebody that walks away from God, you go back and begin to examine where everything went wrong. You can usually trace it back to a place where they thought they could skip over something that they didn't think was important, and they weren't grounded there. Catastrophe strikes where there is no anchor. And you've got to get into a routine with your walk with God and your daily life with God and prioritize it and make sure He always comes first. And if you don't think foundations are important, heaven has 12. You got to make sure that the house you're building, where the Holy Ghost is going to dwell, is going to be built on a firm foundation. The old song, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." If you're building your life on something that is contrary to Christ, it will eventually be blown over. And the sand will shift the foundation. And it will eventually be in a place where all of a sudden you're wondering, what happened? How did I end up here? Living for God is not a set of rules that we do because we have to do. But if we build our lives on God, if we build ourselves on God, our homes, our temples on Jesus Christ, then when those strong winds blow and when those times of question come, I'm not depending upon myself. I'm depending on Him. This is, the Bible says, a walk of faith. You don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know if I'm on the right foundation. Doesn't matter what winds blow. Doesn't matter what hell comes. Doesn't matter what adversities I face. If I'm on the right foundation, this house is secure. My children are secure. My family is secure. You got to get on the right, get your mind in the Word. You cannot afford to go a day without getting your mind in the Word. There is no such thing as a casual Christian. They're also called a sinner. You cannot live this life casually. But hey, there is a lost and dying world going to hell. And my soul is too important to me just to throw it all away by building on a place that is not sure. Build on the right foundation. Location is important. Foundation is important. But as I'm building this home, as I'm building this dream house where the Holy Ghost dwells, I've got to decide
How do I want the inside to look? How do I want the walls to look? How do I want the rooms to look? Do I want that island there in the kitchen? Do I want that door there by the bathroom? Do I want this over here? How do I want the inside of this house to look? I love this story. I read it the other day, 2 Kings 4 and 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as he oft passed by, he did this a lot, he came by a lot, he turned into this house and to eat bread. And she said to her husband, "Behold, I think this is an holy man of God," which comes here a lot. Listen to what she says. "Let us make him a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him in there a bed." But first she said, let's just make for him a room in this house that we're building. Let's make the man of God a room. And in this house that you're building, in this temple where God is dwelling, in this house that you are constructing, you've got to make sure that you are making room for the man of God in your life. You've got to make sure. I want a place in this house for the man of God. Let me just talk to you tonight. You've got to have place in your heart and your spirit for spiritual correction. You've got to have a place in this house for the man of God, that when he speaks, he can speak into your spirit. And he can tell you, hey, you probably shouldn't be doing that. You probably shouldn't be going that way. You probably shouldn't be acting like that. You've got to make a place in your heart, in your house, for the man of God, so that he can come and tell you what he's feeling in the Holy Ghost. I feel so bad for people that do not give place for the voice of the man of God in their life, because I can tell it's not going to be long before something happens, because there's no accountability there. Because there's no place in their spirit for the man of God. If he's feeling something in the Holy Ghost, he cannot come to them and begin to talk to them without them throwing a fit or getting angry or getting mad. That ought not to be our attitude. Our attitude ought to be, Pastor, if you feel like you need to tell me something, tell it to me. You're in charge of my soul. You're going to stand before God one day, Pastor, and give an account for me. Please, if there's something in my spirit that is not right, please tell me what it is. There's got to be a place in this house for the man of God. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. There's a place in this place for the man of God. There's a place in this house for the voice of the man of God. There's a place in this heart for when the pastor speaks something, I've got a special room dedicated just for him that nothing else can take the place of, that my pastor has veto power, that my pastor can speak the word of God and say, thus saith the Lord. There's got to be a room. Thank God for the man of God. Thank God for our pastor. Thank God for people like Bishop Downs who can feel something in the Holy Ghost and say, I think this is this way, or I feel this. Or, and you got to have room in this house you're building for the voice of the man of God. You've got to have room. But if I have room for the man of God, I've still got to construct the inside of how I want my house to look. We're all building. We're all building this house. How do I want it to look on the inside? But not only after I've created a room for the man of God, then I go on and I say this. Okay, this lady who was making this room, after she made this room for the man of God, she said, I got to decide how I want it to look. What kind of decorations do I want on the inside? What do I want people to think when they come in? And she said, let's make him a chamber. But after the chamber is made, let's make him a bed. Let's put a table and a stool and a candlestick. How do I want it to look? How do I want to decorate it? How do I want it to be seen by others? If Jesus Christ were to walk into this house today, what would he find? If Jesus Christ were to knock on the door and say, I'm here for a visit, would you do what you do when other people come over and throw everything in the closet and try to hide it? Or would he be able to walk in and say, oh, I feel good in this house. I feel comfortable in this house. I feel pleased. I feel peace in this house. What would he feel if he were to walk into your house? What would he feel? And you gotta make sure that as you're building this house, the right things are on the inside. And there's gotta be a filter. There's gotta be a filter on what, I know I'm in teaching mode tonight. Is this okay? There's gotta be a filter on what you decide to let in here. Because in the world we're living in, so much is bombarding our minds. So much is trying to get into our spirits. Stuff happening all over the world it's just crazy. And it's social media is trying to inundate our spirits and our minds looking at the news. Sometimes you got to turn off social media. Sometimes you got to say, okay, I got to put this down today. I can't look at this today. Because you're not supposed to be looking at all that. Because you know what it does? It allows certain things in here. It allows you to get caught up in some of the things God said. It doesn't even matter. It's going to happen. Perilous times are going to come, but the church is going to rise. The church is going to go forward. The church is going to go on because even hell's not going to be able to prevail against the church. And so as all of this stuff tries to come in, we've got to have a filter here to say, no, 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 that's not coming in this house. That doesn't have access here. That's not allowed to come in here. What is that filter? How do I gauge what comes into my house? And this is applicable to everybody. Because Paul tells the Philippians, he says, finally, brethren, here's what you need to allow into your house. Moms, dads, kids, this is what you need to let in. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, then those things can have access to this house. But hey, you got to make up in your mind. If it's a bunch of lies, it ain't coming in here. Don't come to me with your lies and start telling me all this gossip and all of this other junk that's going on around with people in the church and things happening with everybody else and all these other. No, no, no. If it's not pure, it isn't coming in here. If it's not true, it's not coming in here. If it's not just, it has no business in here. I can't watch that because it's not pure. I can't say that because I can't let that have access to my spirit. I can't do that because it's not lovely. If it's not of a good report, don't tell it to me. I don't want to hear the junk and the lies and the things happen. I don't want to hear the God. But tell me what the Lord has done. Tell me some of that. Tell me the things that God is doing. Tell me some of that. Tell me about the person that got healed last week. I want to hear that. Tell me about the goodness of God. I want to hear that because I want what's coming in here to be pure. I want what's coming in here to be just. I want it to be honest. I want it to be virtuous. Because I'm building a house and I take it so serious because the Lord is living here. And if it's not pleasing to him, it has no business in here. Think on these things. I want to become better. How many want to become better? But I've got to remind myself constantly, I'm building a house. where the Spirit of God will dwell. And musicians, you can come. I'm not going long tonight. But one of the most convicting things that drives me to become a better person, a better Christian, a better friend, is simply this. Are you ready? The house that I'm building doesn't belong to me. The house that God has entrusted me to construct doesn't belong to me. I'm just a temporary occupant. I'm just here for a little while. It's only borrowed. In this house that I'm building, it's not mine to do whatever I want to do with. But I'm constructing it with His blueprints and His thoughts, His plans, His ideas. And as I'm building it, I've got to remind myself, I've got an obligation to make this house everything I can. And while I know I'm just a work in progress, I am still striving for excellence because I know the Spirit of God lives here. And I want to know that this is a place where God would be comfortable in living. Stand to your feet with me if you would tonight. And it is sobering when I read this in 1 Corinthians 3:17. I've got to be careful, folks. I've got to be careful in building this house. The work of the Lord means so much to me. But I've got to be careful because the Bible says if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? So in building this house unto God, in building this house where God is going to dwell, I've got to remember it's not mine, but I'm striving to become better. I'm striving to become a better Christian, a better father, a better friend. I'm just trying to do better. So grant me a little bit of grace, if you would. Come on, the next time somebody messes up, don't condemn them. Why don't you reach down and help them get back up again? The next time somebody falls, grant them a little bit of mercy and just say, you know what? I fell too. I can help you get back up again. Because a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up 1 more time. And another time. And another time. And another time. And you're just a work in progress. But you got to say, God, help me to become better. Help me to do more. Help me to be on the right foundation, in the right location, so that I can decorate the inside of this house to be pleased. Anybody want to become better? I know this has been simple tonight, but I think we need to hear this every now and then, that we're just a work in progress. You're not perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect church until we get up there and cast our crowns towards the feet of the one who saved us and delivered us and healed us and helped us. There's no such thing as a perfect church. But in the meantime, while I know I'm not perfect, I'm still trying to become better. I'm still trying to become more like Him. I'm still trying to build this house. And you know how we build houses? Through altar calls, through a daily prayer life, through a constant relationship with God. And tonight, and I know it's been simple, but tonight God is building people in this place. God is building you. He's building your family. He's telling you, why don't you take another step higher? Why don't you stretch for more? Why don't you reach out for more? I'm building my dream house. What do I want this house to look like? What do I want this house to look like? I want it to be the best that it can be. I want it to be so much like Him. I want it to be a place where he would feel comfortable in dwelling. And in building this house, you've got to remember, you're not perfect. But everybody's got issues. Everybody's got problems. But the Lord builds the house. It's not yours. You're just here passing through. Why don't you lift a hand towards heaven right now? And why don't you pray that prayer? Jesus, build us tonight. Jesus, build us tonight. Come on, you got to pray that. Come on, stretch right now. Come on, push yourself right now. God, how can I build myself better? How can I do this? God, I need your help. Come on, he wants to help you tonight. Come on, he wants to talk to you tonight. Maybe there's some things you need to get out of your house tonight. Oh, is that pleasing to God, or is that an abomination? How would God feel about this if he saw this in my house? Come on, he's not condemning you. He's just here to make you better. He's just here to help you. He's just here to tell you, hey, I know you're going through some things, but you know what? It's not the end of the world. You're just building a house. Come on, let's lift our hands and let's lift our voices right now. Let's talk to him. Why don't you pray and ask him right now, God, help me to become better. I want to become better. I want to become more. I want to become more like you. I'm going to build a house that is pleasing to you. One more time, would you lift your hands in this place tonight? Let's talk to him. It doesn't just happen. But it happens through self-awareness. When you can pray the prayer of David and say, God, judge me. Show me everything in my house that does not belong there. Show me everything in my mind that needs to be cleaned out. Come on, that's it. Talk to him tonight. We love you, Jesus. Come on, create in me a clean house, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Hallelujah. Come on, let's talk to him right now. There's some people in here that are building. There's some people in here that are saying, God, I need you to help me.